Ja. Okay. On Friday night, I got invited to come and speak to the youth here. And guys, I just really want to give a shout out to Simone and what she's doing. It is amazing. Really. Okay. Has or is Jesus calling you? I'm going to ask you another question right at the end of this. Okay. However, the first question I have for you, it's for everybody really, but what is the most common male genetic, could I say defect, issue, problem? Does anybody know the most common in males? You're not allowed to answer because you've heard it before. What's the most common in the human race for males that they suffer from? No, they can't find stuff. That's not a genetic defect, okay? They can listen. There's a difference between listening and hearing, okay? Big difference. They can hear, but they don't want to listen. Anything else? Pride. No, guys, come on, man. We're talking about genetics now. Yeah, we've got a hand there. Control. No, you guys are missing the point. Can I get that first slide up? There we go. That is the most common male genetic defect. Color blindness. So how God has designed us is that we have different senses in our eyes. Rods see black and white, and cones see color. And there are three different types of cones. They're those that look at red, green, and blue. Okay? I'm colorblind. I can only see a 16 on the top right, an 8 at the top left, and I think it's a 9 on the bottom right, but the others I can't see anything. Don't laugh at me. It's the way I am. Let's go to the next slide. So that on the left is apparently how most of you guys see, and on the right is someone who does not have any cones in their eyes. And those are the very, very rare ladies, okay? Because it's an X-linked genetic defectus. So ladies don't get it, but when they get it, they are black and white. So the next slide, I want to show you the difference between the three types of color blindness between with guys. So the one apparently top left is normal. Then there's one that you see less reds, less greens, and less blues. And how it works is these three different cones normally sense light at a certain wavelength. And if it's out by a tiny fraction, you can't distinguish so nicely between the different colors. So the reason I want to show you guys this is because I want to talk about something today that has three parts to it. The first part is like the black and white. Then we get to the colorblind. And then finally we get into this high definition full color. Okay, so let's start with the black and white. Those of you, I hope you're taking notes because this is worth taking notes for, okay? We're going to talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So there's a kind of a thread that weaves through all of these, and it's all about calling. So let's start the story in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. You guys don't have to put it up. And Matthew 8, 18 to 22 is almost exactly the same. And so this is the black and white. And I'm going to read it for you, the first one here from Mark. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So this has, for me, been a really hard teaching to understand. Like, just imagine you are one of these guys. You're fishing. It's your job. You've had a hard night of fishing. You cleaning your nets or And this, like, weird religious guy comes cruising down the beach and says to you, you know him from a bar of soap. He says, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And I was like, I don't know. For me, it's so hard. How? This is, like, when I first got saved, when I was 16 years old, it was like, whoa, this is hardcore. Jesus just comes, and he says, leave everything and follow me. And I've only now that I've really started to read through this stuff, get a better understanding. So the thing that we don't understand, what makes it even more difficult, is both in Mark and in Matthew, only after this does Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law. So how it makes it more difficult for me to try and understand is he says, follow me, and then they follow him, and then he goes and heals the mother-in-law. So the black and white part for me is like, okay, if God is calling me, am I hardcore enough just to follow that call? And what was interesting for me is when I was trying to understand it, one of the things that the Greek understanding here is, I will make you fishers of men. It's this word called zogron, which is to do with, you're going to come and catch stuff alive with me. You're going to make people come alive. You know, he says in John about, I have come to give you life and life abundance, John 10:10. And this is this concept that Jesus wants to bring life into people. So I kind of think, oh, I've got to sacrifice and give everything up. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm calling you to give life to people. So it's hard for me to understand, how can these guys follow him? They haven't ever seen him before. And he calls them, and then only later does he go and start doing some miracles. However, now we get to the second part. This is the colorblind part. So there's a lot more light coming in here, but it's not the full picture yet. And this is in Luke. So Dr. Luke saves the day. Okay? Look at the first difference. So I'm going to read in the first few verses of chapter 5. But if you backtrack to a few verses earlier in chapter 4, this is what it says. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Please heal her, everybody begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever and left her, and she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed every one. Many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command. So now I'm starting to understand this thing a little bit better. Because here we have Jesus going to this guy's house. He does two things. He heals the guy's mother-in-law. Maybe some of you never want your mother-in-law healed, guys, or brothers, I don't know. But that's aside. But then he does these miracles. He's like, heals everybody. So now I'm starting to understand, okay, let's now see the context of what this is in. So now we're going to skip a few verses, and in chapter 5, here we go. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, isn't that just amazing? Because it's not just this guy coming up to you and say, follow me. Now we understand that he'd healed his mother-in-law. He'd healed the sick people. He does a miracle. And he's not now calling them. He just simply says this thing. He says, don't be afraid, from now on you'll be fishing for people. So a couple of things that I wanted to just pull out of here that I hope will maybe stir something in your life is, He pursues us. This thing's not about, what's amazing is there's not a talk about what Jesus taught the crowd. It's all about what he was getting into Peter's life. So Jesus comes to us. We don't come to Jesus. He's pursuing us. The second thing is, he gets stuck in our dirt. Can you imagine how stinky those boats were? These oaks are tired. They haven't slept the whole night. When I'm on call and I haven't slept, I get properly grumpy, eh? And he in the inconvenience of his life, Jesus pushes in. He pushes into the inconvenient part. He chooses the most unlikely candidate to lead his church. Think about it. Would you go down to the PE harbor and find a fisherman and say to him, come, you're going to lead my ministry? But this is the amazing upside down world that we live in with God, you know? These guys are busy washing their nets in the previous story. They're tired, and he says, come, let's go. But what's more than this, he sent them back out to deep waters. How scared are we of going into the deep waters of our lives? How open are we to, in the midst of where we're working? So it's kiff to be at church this morning. It's lekker. It's nice to see everybody. Tomorrow, back grafting. In the car sales, are you ready to see Jesus push up right there? Or is he there? You know, are we open and allowing him to do that? When we're setting bones, is he there? He is. He's with us the whole time. The other thing that's amazing here is this hardcore fisherman suddenly looks around. He's now seen these things. And he says, leave me. I'm a sinner. Jesus says, follow me. It's such an excuse that we can come up with this. I'm just not good enough. Why would God love me? It was so interesting in men's group on Friday morning, one of the guys was saying he had a friend. We've always got a friend who's struggling with this. I can't accept that God can love me. Kind of part of me thinks that's quite a selfish thing to say. So you can dictate to the creator of the universe, who knows how many hairs on your head, who knit you together intricately in your mother's womb, has a purpose for your life, that no, you can't love me. What can the pot say to the potter? And Jesus doesn't argue with him about this, saying to him, he says, I'm too much of a sinner, I can't be around you. Jesus just says to him, don't be afraid. He hits it straight, like fear. And I think this is the last thing I want to pick up in this part here is, what is it that we are fearing, that you and I fear not to trust God with? Because in this thing, he just says, don't be afraid. From now on, you're fishing for people. I'm not discussing this with you, my boo. I'm telling you, stop being afraid, and we're going fishing for people. So the question I have there as well is, what is it that you're afraid of? When you die, nothing is going with you to heaven. So what are you holding on to? So think about that. Now we're going to go into the last part, this full color part, okay, in John 1. So this morning I needed to find another little bookmark, and Damien gave me this one. Colleen was at a baby shower yesterday, had some interesting questions on it, like ladies' questions. But guys, you can also try and answer this. Okay. So
I'll ask you one or two here. It says, babies are born without which bone, which body part? Okay? Four answers. You can say, and I'll read them, and then you put your hands up. They are either born without kneecaps, without elbows, without shoulder blades, and without a tailbone. So let's go. Who thinks babies are born without kneecaps? Hands up. Okay? Without elbows? Yes, I hope nobody put your hand up there with an elbow. Kids have elbows. Shoulder blades? Tailbone? Nah, you guys are wrong. First guy's one, eh? Well done. Oh, I don't know if I believe this one. How many years does it take for a nappy to decompose? Okay? You have four answers. Don't put your hand up yet. 50, 150, 300, 500 years. Okay, 50 years, hands up. I see that hand, Keith. 150 years. 300 years. 500 years. Don't be shy. 500 is the answer, guys. Put it up. Okay, enough baby trivia questions. So now let's look at this. This is John. Okay. So we said the black and white, the hard stuff, I don't understand it so well. Jesus just walks up to Peter and says, follow me. The colorblind, the color's coming in. He's done three miracles. He's healed the mother-in-law, he's healed the people, and he's got this amazing catch of fish. And then he says, stop being afraid, let's go fishing for people. Now we get to John's part. So this is amazing about John's part. So in John chapter 1, this is the introduction of how does Peter meet Jesus. So Peter gets baptized. Jesus gets baptized by John. Okay. Because John has this argument with the Pharisees. Then he sees Jesus. He says, here's the Son of God, and he baptizes him. Now, let's pick it up here. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. So John's there. Then he saw Jesus passing by. Jesus walked everywhere. Are you walking through life? One of the amazing things in the message is they talk about you got to learn to live the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus walked through life. Are you running? Or are you a lazy bone sitting on your fat butt doing nothing? You can choose between those three. You're either sitting, walking, or running. We should be walking. It's just a side thing there. Then listen to this. So John turns to the two disciples who heard him say this. They follow Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So two of John's disciples have now left John, and they said to Jesus, I want to go and see where you're staying. It's kind of a weird thing to say. And he says, come, and you'll see. So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. The whole day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now listen to how cool this is. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, the rock. How amazing is that? That's now a whole different spiel. So thank you to Andrew, who actually, without any miracles, brings his brother to meet Jesus, and Jesus changes his name on the spot. Says, from now on, you're going to be the rock. So that's quite an interesting, different way. And now I want to get to the little knockout punch at the end. So we're going to turn to the last chapter of John 21. So Jesus has died and he's appeared to his disciples. And there's this really cool little verse, the last two verses of the chapter 20. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. So that's the purpose of John's gospel. But how cool is that to say that you may continue to believe? So we've got to, guys, we if nobody thinks we're not in for a war, just look at what happened in Arusha yesterday. I mean, 15 people died. This is not a light-hearted thing to follow Jesus. It's not like I'll just fit him in when he fits in with my schedule. This is these guys leaving their lives behind and following him. And we continue following him. Because now look at what happens here. Jesus has now appeared to his disciples. And this is the last little bit here. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. How cool is this? So like 3 years later, he's back at the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. There's seven, they named them. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two others. Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. But he's not going fishing for people. He's going fishing for fish. Okay? We'll come to that, all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Hey, does this sound familiar? Is this deja vu or something? These boys have been fishing, they're grumpy again, out in the boat, nothing. Now, bear in mind, they've been with Jesus for 3 years, so they know the oak. It's more than just one day. They've seen everything. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out to them, fellows, have you caught any fish? This is a carpenter, eh? Got no fishing skills. No, they replied, like, no, boo. Can't you see we've been fishing the whole night? I'm sick and tired of fishing. Then he says to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So no one's clicked anything yet. But like, who are you telling me, I'm the fisherman, you are some oak standing on the side, just throw the net on the right-hand side of the boat. The audacity of it. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Another miracle. Then the disciple Jesus loved, as John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, and they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. So Jesus was having a little breakfast braai, fish braai, braai brekkies were going. And then the rest of the chapter, I don't want to get into that, that's when Jesus reinstates Peter, because Peter had promised he would never deny him, and then he did deny him, and Jesus then spoke about, 3 times, will you look after my people? And it's a very, very powerful chapter. But what's amazing for me is that how graceful Jesus was with Peter the whole time. Like, he meets this guy, he heals his mother-in-law, he heals people. His brother introduces him to him. He blesses this guy with this most amazing catch of fish. And then he says, come, let's go. So what I wanted to ask you guys, I asked you right at the start, is has or is Jesus calling you? And this is my final question now. It's like, we've looked at the black and white, the colorblind, the full color, but I want to ask you this one thing. What is your excuse that you're coming up with for not answering God's call in your life? I think it's something to think about deeply, you know. I'm not in any way trying to be manipulative, you know, or trying to figure out what the practicalities of that are. But my question is just this. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? If somebody looks at your life, can they say, wow, there's somebody who actually loves God and walks according to his purposes? Because I think if we're not doing that, maybe pretending. And there are two things that I know a few, but it's my highlight of allergies is moaning and pretending. Because it's just being hypocritical and false. And, you know, in the same breath, what's amazing is that when these fishermen had lost all hope and they went back to fishing because their Savior had died, He came back to them and He restored them. And Jesus always restores us. And it was so amazing to hear the guy speaking about how he's going to get baptized again. He wants to, 29 years later, be rebaptized. Jesus never, ever, His love doesn't run out on us. He always is there for us. And we just need to know that we need to actually say, come, let's go. Let's go fishing. So that's really all I wanted to say this morning. I'd like to pray over everybody. And at the same time, guys, once I've prayed, we're going to probably have the band come up again. And if there's people who want to come up for prayer, they feel that now's the time to follow Jesus. Come, let's pray for you. Your life's going to be completely different. One of those worship songs we spoke of this morning about, like, not my way, your way. If you say that, you're in for trouble because He's going to change your life, eh? But I mean, for me, it happened when I was in grade 10, standard 8. It was amazing. And yeah, so that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to pray over everybody. And then if you want to come up for prayer, there are a lot of other people around here to pray for you, please do so. Father, thank you so much for the word this morning, Lord. I just want to pray, Jesus, that you would put an urge in our hearts, Lord, to follow you. We would be dissatisfied, Lord, with living lives that are not honoring you, Lord, and not bringing your kingdom on this earth, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for how you changed Peter's life to be able to, through that, change our lives ultimately, Lord. Thank you that Andrew went to call his brother, Lord, that he had the courage to call his brother, Lord. Thank you that you healed those people, you healed his mother-in-law, but you also brought the fish about, Lord. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that whoever's sitting here and needs to know that you have this calling on their lives, Lord, that they would be brave enough to stand up and say, here I am, send me, Lord. Use me to build your kingdom. So may your hand be upon this congregation, Lord. May you bless everybody in this room, Lord. And may they live lives that bring glory to you. I ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you so much. Just the whole of that story was that Luke 5 passage of having caught nothing, fished all night. And I feel like that's the thing we need to be praying over this morning. If you've been living in a time in your life, in a context where it feels like not much has come, not much result, and significant levels of frustration, and you can measure that however you want to, but you know in your heart that there's been lots of effort from your side, lots of things you've done, but it hasn't added up to success, to fruitfulness. That's what we want to break off that frustration and hear the call of God. So why don't we stand together, and Sel will lead us to some worship as well. While we do that, I want to invite you and some of the leaders and others who'd like to come and pray, just to come forward and for us to just take some time to pray over people who are feeling called in God to a new partnership with Jesus. Just because He says so, it's the right-hand side of the boat. Just because He says to do it this way, you're willing to step out and do it His way and see what will result from that. How many think that your life could be more fruitful than it is now? Anyone in this room here? Okay. What would that look like if Jesus said, okay, I see your hand, this is what I want you to do? Would you be responding to that? If so, I invite you to come forward. I mean, let's pray. Let's pray for God's call to become clear and to become confirmed as well. So, and I think if the other worship team is going to join her. Yeah, Ryan, you guys are going to help Sel? Go on, Brian. And leave the lady alone. Come and help her. And lead us in a song. And if you'd like to respond to a call from God to do something different, and He's calling you, and it's a new partnership with Jesus. It's no longer you alone against the elements and against the historic odds, but it's what Jesus is doing in your life, what He's calling you to, and you want to say, Lord, I want to commit afresh to you. Remember, we're going through a lengthy series and just talking about Jesus. Let's respond to that as well. So thanks, so you can lead us. Thank you. As people come forward, will some of you just come and join us as well and just pray with them? Someone's coming that you'd like to stand with. Just come and stand with him. I believe that a lot of people are going to receive prayer. Victor's here today as well. Victor, you need to come forward. He's trusting God for a new day and he's working in Malawi, in Lilongwe. So we want to pray for Victor as well. Thanks, Sil. Just go ahead.
Here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every cloud. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
What a great song, hey? That what we're saying, do whatever you want to. God just put this in my heart. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if this week there was a flurry of miracles across the city? Supernatural things happening. Things that could only be ascribed to the intervention of God. Situation after situation. Physical, financial, political, social, marital, whatever. Parental, in our families. If you'd like to be part of a miracle week, why don't you just raise your hands to the Lord? Let's just say, Lord, we want to open ourselves up that you could flow your miracle power through us, and we'll cooperate with you, Lord. We heard the call this morning in Cam's message to cooperate with you, not just to sit around messing with the fish, but to expect you to come and do something supernatural. So in Jesus' name, we say, Lord, come. Come and do it. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Break out upon our city, Lord. In this city, let there be miracle after miracle this week. We want to hear the testimonies of your breakthrough power, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Miracle after miracle. Do it, Lord. In money, in bodies, in homes, in businesses. Where there's been depression, we break off depression. New joy, new hope will break out. And people that have been depressed for a long time will suddenly become stabilized and with joy and hope. God is going to reconcile people that have been estranged. Wayward children, delinquent children will come home, and parents will be gracious in receiving and blessing. It's a week of miracles that God wants to do. And I believe as we respond to Him and respond to the things He tells us to do, throw your net on the other side of the boat, whatever He tells you, and God's going to answer with miracle after miracle, and He's the one who will receive the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone else who needs prayer, don't feel you've got to be in a hurry. You're welcome to come and stand here. We'll have people come and pray with you. It's a time for good fellowship. I believe that God really does want to do something significant in many, many lives. Before you go today, would you just find someone you can just bless and speak God's favor over them? We don't have enough favor spoken of our lives. Live in a world that's very critical. Would you just go and bless somebody today before you leave this building? Just speak God's love and favor and purpose over them. May the peace of God, the shalom of God, be upon us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cam.